And welcome back to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for July 2000. Coming up at the end of this tape, we'll have information on the 2000 National Radio Club Convention. Keep in mind that time is running out. You need to book your room if you're planning on attending. We'll give you a lot of information at the end of the tape. But right now, here's my adopted son, Mr. Phil Wayne from Findlay, Ohio. Phil?
Hi, radio buffs, air check freaks, DX hounds, and those of you that just can't get enough of radio. This is Market Scope, where you get to show off your spot in the world by submitting air checks of the stations in your market. Before we get into this month's Market Scope, just a reminder that we need liners from people on the radio in your community. A welcome message would be great for those of us at the convention. We'll have details at the end of the column, but now let's journey down south to our good friend Tim Hendel and finish up Huntsville, Alabama. Alabama Radio. Tim?
Moving on up the dial to 102.1, we find WDRM, the second country station in Huntsville. I think they're actually licensed to Decatur, but also I think the studio and transmitter is in or near Huntsville.
WDRM, that is Ty Herndon in Hands of a Working Man. Good afternoon at 3:35. Justin Thomas with more favorites out of the way for you. Winona's coming up. Going to be hearing the new one from John Michael Montgomery here in just a bit as well. And more free money out of the way this afternoon. Congratulations, Laura Price picked up on $5,000 in free money this morning. And you'll get a chance to cash that $500 paycheck of yours coming up next hour on your free money station, WDRM.
I'm Kim Mixon, and I won $5,000 on WDRM. Woo!
Congratulations to Kim Mixon, winner of $5,000 in free money with Country 102's incredible paycheck payoff.
Did we call your numbers out?
805-4362.
Well, by gosh, we did call those out. Congratulations,
all right.
Kim.
Hey. Yeah.
Woo!
I can't believe you called my number.
Well, that's great. Well, Kim, congratulations. You got $5,000.
Thank you so much.
It's easy to win. Listen for your WDRM paycheck payoff serial numbers. When you hear yours, call us back within 10 minutes and you win up to $5,000. Up to $5,000. Hey, Kim, how do you spell free money?
There's only one way. WDRM 102 FM.
An interview with John Lovitz, the man who wrote the Yellow Pages.
Anniversary with two large two-topping pizzas for just $12. That's two large two-topping pizzas for just $12.
Continuous country. Country 102 FM. WDRM.
WDRM, John Michael Montgomery. His new one's called Hello, L-O-V-E. Good afternoon, 347. WDRM News Time with Mindy Carson.
Thank you. Good afternoon. The arsenal discovered by police from Tuesday's shooting spree at a Denver high school included a sawed-off shotgun.
Rocket City, this is WDRM Decatur Athens Huntsville. We are the Tennessee Valley's free money station.
Country 102 FM, WDRM.
I sometimes wonder why stations present news at times such as 47 minutes past the hour. Is it so people will be sure to listen, or is it so that when people tune over from the other stations at the top of the hour, they'll hear music? I don't know. Well, two more stations to go here. Here's Huntsville's main rock station, WZYP 104.1. 104.3, correction, 104.3. Studios actually in Athens and transmitter, oh, probably somewhere between Athens and Huntsville. It's definitely a Huntsville station. It's owned, I think, by the same people who own 770 WVNN, the talk station.
Yes, we have.
First.
Tuesday Station. 104.3 CYP.
Spread your love and fly.
So 104.3 ZYP, today's best music. It's Hawk Harrison on your $1 million big money birthday station. Up next, it's the drive at 5. We do your request all the way home. Lots of requests for the song Tears in High School. We'll be playing that for you and tell you more about how you can pick up your very own copy. You'll stick around. Plus, some free stuff on the way home. A Papa John's pizza as you ride home next with 104.3 ZYP.
Every year, 104.3 ZYP digs deep into the music souvenirs we collect throughout the year. Then we auction them off to raise money for the kids at St. Jude's Hospital.
You know what we found this year?
Guitars signed by James Taylor, Kenny Loggins, Shania Twain. An autographed guitar from Sarah McLachlan. An autographed guitar from Goo Goo Dolls. An autographed guitar from Alanis Morissette. Two autographed album sleeves from Natalie Merchant, an autographed guitar from the Bare Naked Ladies, a signed jacket by Elton John, a poster signed by Hanson, autographed sports items from NASCAR to the NFL, and there's more.
Check them out on our webpage at WZYP.net.
104.3 ZYP will auction all these items off to the highest bidder at the Madison Square Mall, Saturday, May 15th. You can have a piece of history and help the kids at St. Jude's with just a little of your time and money. The 1999 St. Jude's Auction from 104.3 CYP.
Welcome to Taco Night of the Andersons, the saga of a family, a grande meal, and a chihuahua.
From ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, paid for by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
From the Tennessee River to the Arsenal, this is your town. This is your station.
104.3 WZYP.
Athens, Decatur, Huntsville.
Listen to the sound of those carefully crafted Miller Lite bubbles.
From the 104.3 ZYP award-winning newsroom, this is a ZYP News Update.
Party Cloudy 81 at 455. I'm Scott Jackson. Party Cloudy 81 at 457. I'm Scott Jackson, 104.3 ZYP.
I know you're going to dig this.
This is the Drive at 5.
Well, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, as always, this stuff in lieu of actual entertainment.
104.3 ZYP.
I would swallow my pride.
It's 646 on your $1 million big money birthday station. It's Chris and Didi. Now, up next, we got to announce our Teacher of the Week.
That's right. And, of course, you can vote for your favorite teacher by going to ZYP.net on the World Wide Web.
That's
WZYP.net.
Right. Click on the contest page. Takes you to the chalkboard in 100 words or less. Tell us who you want to be Teacher of the Week.
Let me tell you one thing, though.
70 and mild now at ZYP.
It's time for Teacher of the Week. Thank you very much.
Did you just have a Britney moment or
That's
something?
That's right. I just had a Britney moment, but I thought, oh, baby, it's time for Teacher of the Week.
And every week of this time, we announce the Teacher of the Week, and you vote by going to the ZYP webpage at WZYP.net. Click on the contest, and then go to the chalkboard and tell us why your teacher should be Teacher of the Week.
That's right. Now, once they're Teacher of the Week, then they're running for Teacher of the Year,
That's
too.
That's right.
Now, we're going to suspend operations for this in just a little bit because school's going on summer vacation. And
of course,
it'll pick up in the fall.
Exactly. Okay, are we ready?
Yes.
This email comes from Amanda Miller, and Amanda has emailed us numerous times. And she says, it's me, I'm back, it's Amanda Miller. I'm not going to give up writing you until I get my point across about Dexter Greenhaw. He is the greatest teacher. She's in the 11th grade at Harsel High School, and Dexter Greenhaw is the band teacher.
Our last station is 106.1 WTAK. Those who know more about these formats than I do describe this as classic rock. I hope you have enjoyed this ride up and down the Huntsville, Alabama AM and FM dial.
And that brings us to the music. It's another 30-minute classic rock block. 30 minutes of non-stop classic rock. Starting now. Starting now on 106.1 WTAK.
93.3 AH Normal.
Huntsville's Classic Rock. 106.1 WTAK. Hartsel, Decatur, Athens, Huntsville. Your hometown classic rock station. 106.1 WTAK.
Huntsville's Classic Rock, 106.1 WTAK. I was going to bring up my sex life, but we'll leave it out of it. But all I have to say is, this one's dedicated to it. Can't get no satisfaction. It's the Stones.
Good morning. The Big Show is on the radio to 16. Away from the hour, you're over to 3 hours, racing, wrestling, and running from the law. Coming up later today, we'll talk to Earnhardt, winner of the Talladega race, 500 miles, man. Bam!
Yeah.
That was some good work down there, and we're happy everybody got out all right.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got hurt.
Yep.
During the big one. It's that fat boy. Does he sound hurt this morning, bringing the trailer park back home?
No, he's got his little posse behind him.
All right, so we got the train coming back from Talladega.
He's posse whip.
All right, so we'll see what's happening on the racing side tomorrow, coming to the wrestling side. See if Ric Flair gets out of the nervous hospital tonight on Monday Nitro. Okay, coming up next, part one of Billy Ray's meetings. Reverend Billy Ray Collins joins us next.
I got a letter from somebody that says, you know, apparently when you're under hypnosis, one of the benefits is to help you recall something from the past.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be able to relive. So their suggestion was, let's hypnotize John Boy, take him back to his high school marching band days, and see how good he really was. Yeah. So it's kind of like a John Boy time machine.
If International Trumpet Month ever kicks in, we'll have to try that.
We got an opportunity to find out just how irresistible he thought he
Randy,
was to the girl.
You think that I'm going to let myself be hypnotized? I saw what you did to Brady. You think I'm going to let myself?
Come on, just for me.
No.
I'll give you $100.
It ain't a chance.
I'll take up a collection. I bet I could get you $500-$600 before the end of the day.
I'm in for Cena.
Pillars is in for him.
No.
I ain't no way.
Not with Pillars in the room. He'd be doing stuff like, hey, get him to wet his pants, man. He'll freak out.
I think we should have Randy hypnotized by Christine later this week.
Like that will ever happen.
So, but there's nothing embarrassing left for him to do because he does all that when he's not hypnotized.
Look at it that way.
The only thing I got going for me out of all this, the reason I'm not afraid for it coming in, because I know it's impossible to hold somebody down and hypnotize them.
We'll see what's happening. We'll do it. Brady, you don't mind being hypnotized again, do you?
No, sir, I sure don't. I'll do anything if y'all jump over
there. Shut up.
I told you we're getting naked.
All right, nobody touch nobody. Just hang on until we play this guitar. Give that Dan Electro away, your chance to join the winners.
WZ93 AH Normal.
Huntsville's Classic Rock. 106.1 WTAK. Hartsel, Decatur, Athens, Huntsville. Your hometown classic rock station. 106.1 WTAK.
That's it for this month, and a special thanks to Tim Handel for a great series of air checks. By the way, you too can highlight your market on the Market Scope. Just do as Tim did and record the stations in your area with a small amount of commentary and send them to me. I'm Phil Wayne at 135 and a half Midland Avenue, Findlay, Ohio 45840. Don't forget that the 2000 National Radio Club Convention is fast approaching. We're looking for people who want to send us welcome messages for the convention. If you know of a morning show host, PM drive announcer, perhaps a famous radio person, a news anchor at your local TV station, or someone in the radio business, why not have them record a welcome message for us? The scripts are on our webpage at www.nrcdxas.org/convention. Or you can have them faxed to the station with their permission, of course. Here's a sample of what I'm looking for, and tell folks to feel free to modify the script in any way necessary.
Hello there, I'm Andy Ross from KFSG 96.3 in Los Angeles. Welcome to the National Radio Club Convention. Hope you have a great time. And thanks for listening. When you're in Los Angeles for Christian radio, it's got to be 96.3 KFSG.
Thanks, Andy. When you have folks record the scripts, they should be with voice only, as they will trail over the end of a song and talk up the beginning of another. Help us out by finding some folks in radio to welcome the members to the 2000 convention. This is Phil Wayne. I'll see you in 30 days with a brand new market scope in another market. But now, it's time to hear what you have on your mind.
Hello, DXers. Bruce Conti here on the Musings line. In last month's Musings, Rusty Curry asked about DSP receivers. I believe there are two reasons why manufacturers aren't utilizing DSP receiver technology. Number one is price. The DSP horsepower required to do a good job is still too expensive. DSP is just starting to appear in communications receivers like the latest from Japan Radio, but prices on DSP communications receivers are still well above $1,000. Number two, manufacturers might be waiting until digital broadcasting solidifies. After all, why invest in new designs only to have them become obsolete with the arrival of digital radio? DSP might become more practical if multitasked to provide for reception of a digital signal, conversion to analog, and handling the user interface. 73 and good DX.
Hey there, DXers. Josh Owens calling from the radio station in the world in Reidsville, North Carolina. I got a couple of months behind or so on my DX Audio Service tapes, so I'm just commenting on something that was on a May's issue concerning Tim Hindle's commenting about the BBN stations, or at least the one in this area I know about. He mentioned that these stations have no control over the local programming. I know of two stations, at least, that have some two BBN stations. Probably has some local programming. The one here in High Point has some local church announcements kind of dropped in amongst the music. They also, to my knowledge, they still do this, run local church services on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And also, I was in Ohio a couple of years ago, Belpre, Ohio, I think that's how you pronounce the name of the town the station was in. They even took half an hour or so out of the broadcast day to run a church broadcast. That was rather unusual. So these stations do have some liberty in choosing the programming. I guess they still do, to my knowledge. Just talked to a friend of mine a few minutes ago, Mr. Jeff Wisnett, over in Morganton, North Carolina. And he told me that his station, AM760 WCIS in Morganton, had been granted a power increase. They are right now at 500 watts. They're going to be increasing their power to 3,500 watts as soon as they can get the transmitter. And I guess that's how it's going to work. But I'll let you know about that. Don't know if that's been reported yet or not, but this is on Thursday, June the 8th.
Hi, this is Rusty Curry from Springfield, Oregon. If anyone has a Grundig Yacht Boy 400 PE or has used one, I'd be interested in your opinion of it, especially on the FM and AM broadcast bands. Also, I've got a little indoor shortwave antenna tip. A guy from Sea Crane told me that one of those 5-foot Fire Stick CB antennas works good for shortwave reception, and I found that they do work quite well. Mine cost about $20, and I'm not sure exactly how well it compares to a more elaborate setup, but I got a good solid signal from St. Helena last fall when they did their broadcast.
Hello, fellow DXers. This is Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, a couple of battles have been won up here. 94.7 FM is going to a station in Burlington, Ontario, which should go on the air in about August. It will be adult contemporary and jazz. 740 has been won, happily, by CHWO in Oakville, Ontario, which will leave 1250 sometime in September with a good Music of Your Life format. And then 1250 will be taken over by a station that's currently on 1320 CJMR Mississauga. It will become Joy 1250, and it's a religious station of sorts. And then 1320 will be taken over by an ethnic station, I believe the one that is on 1430 in Toronto at this present time. WWKB 1520 in Buffalo, New York has changed format again. Second time this year already, they're now Business Talk Radio, 50,000-watt station. WLBL, Lockport, New York, was talking like first day of summer they would make a change. They're on 1340, but I haven't noticed any change of format yet. They said listen for a new sound. I recently went to Meridian, Mississippi, and discovered that their station on 1450 that was sports is now business talk. And Dayton, Ohio, WONE 980, has a repeater station on 1340 in Springfield, WIZE. They're playing Music of Your Life. WING 1410 has gone all sports. CHML 900 in Hamilton, Ontario, up here is for sale and expected to be sold soon. 820 CHAM in Hamilton is also for sale, as is Channel 11 TV station. And we've had some trouble with storms up here and interfered with some SkyWave, but the last couple of nights, SkyWave has been quite good here. And I'm hoping that WMAQ will go all sports as has been indicated, and I still look forward to seeing everybody and meeting you at the next National Radio Club Convention.
And finally, on our musings to the members, Paul Smith from Bradenton, Florida, recently wrote in the FMTV at nrcdxas.org list, "During Sunday's finals from Pebble Beach, California, just as Tiger Woods was making his last putt for history, WFLA Television, Channel 8, the NBC affiliate in Tampa, cut away to their weather person to broadcast a tornado warning. The station even had a live shot of the waterspout over Tampa Bay. Great public service, you say? Well, the station, as of this morning, has received over 3,000 complaints that they could have waited a couple of minutes so that people could watch Tiger Woods make history. But worse than that, the general manager of WFLA-TV was on the radio this morning apologizing for the station's, quote, error in judgment, unquote, on breaking in during such an important time as a golf tournament. It was the GM's conclusion that the weather department could have waited a couple of minutes. Who says public service is dead? Go figure," writes Paul Smith from Bradenton, Florida. So we would like to ask you, the musers, those of you who are members of the DX Audio Service, do you think that stations have an obligation to break into programming, no matter what the content, and warn people? Where is the line drawn? And should licensees be held responsible if they fail to notify the public? Let's hear your comments on the Musings to the Members line.
What's on your mind? Do you have some comments to make? Call the DX Audio Service Action Line at 419-224-1609. 24 hours a day.
Hello again, sports fans. Ken Anischuk back here in Joliet with sports and more. And the month of June here, I want you to know about a whole bunch of stuff going on now. Can't give you radio stations because they're not available, but let me let you know there are six teams playing in the NFL Europe. There are 17 teams playing in the Arena Football League. There is another 15 teams playing in the Arena 2 Football League. There's another 11 teams playing in the Indoor Pro Football League, and another 21 teams in the Indoor Football League, plus the U.S. Basketball League and the coming up WNBA. That's a lot of sports from a year ago, plus everything else going on. What a world of entertainment out there for a little bit of everybody. I just say, wow. Other than that, I want you to hear something.
You're listening to the Lujack Broadcasting System, WUBT, Chicago.
From the Chicago Tribune, Thursday, June the 1st. 13 years after Larry Lujack retired from radio, Chicago's original super jock is once again On the Air by Rick Kogan. Shane will never come back. Mike Royko is never going to write another column, and the Beatles are not going to reunite. But to the surprise and delight of many of his fans, and to the dismay and envy of those in the business of radio, Larry Lujack has returned to the Chicago airwaves he once dominated. The neighborhood has changed dramatically during his 13-year absence. Some of his former radio colleagues, such as Brant Miller, a weatherman for Channel 5, have made the watch switch to TV. Others, such as Fred Winston, now morning man on WXXY 103.1, have gone gray. Still others have retired, died, or reinvented themselves. Lujack's audience has gotten older, more distracted by families, careers, and the internet. A new generation of listeners barely knows his name. But there he was last Thursday, or there was his voice at least, blasting from car windows and over Walkman and sounding most of the time as attractively gruff, cynical, honest, and clever as ever. Lujack is signed down with WUBT 103.5 for a two-month stint that calls him to provide promotional messages, daily musical features called Larry Lujack's Double Flashback, and most prominent for the next 3 weeks, share the Thursday-only 6 to 9 a.m. microphone with the station morning man Doug James, and it's going to be replayed on Saturday morning 6 to 9 a.m. It's a publicity coup and potential ratings tonic for WBT, known as the Beat and Jammin' Oldies. In the latest Arbitron survey, we're tied for 12th with 2.9 share and a weekly cum of 648,000. Jay Jones, WBT's program director, told me, "A lot of people told me I was nuts for even trying to get him out of retirement. But what's in it for Lujack? From his arrival here in 1967 until his departure 20 years later, Lujack was one of the most popular, influential, and highest-paid disc jockeys in the country. His 20 years on WLS and before that for a short time on WCFL not only helped define Chicago radio, but also made Lujack master of that domain. Bob Surratt, who was a radio competitor and later a colleague of Lujack's before moving into TV in 1979, said, "People don't realize how popular and influential Larry was. He took what he couldn't help about his demeanor and elevated to an art form and then congratulated himself for doing so. No one before Larry had ever really spoken their mind, had really been honest on the air." Surratt, who can recall verbatim Lujack bits from 20 years ago, placed a welcome back call to WBT on Lujack's first morning. He didn't have a chance to listen to the entire show because it overlapped his duties as co-host of WFLD Channel 32's Fox Thing in the Morning. "Still," he says admiringly, "his voice just makes me feel comfortable. That's the way many people feel. Even the name Lujack, or his snappy sobriquets, Uncle Lair and trademark Super Jock, evoked for many a time of relative innocence. He shares memory space with such items and events as first kisses, high school proms, and transistor radios. By quitting when he did, near the top of his game, he was able to freeze himself in our minds. And though he would occasionally make guest appearances on radio and TV shows, he was basically out of the picture. That further helped it to gild his image. Surratt said he was the Greta Garbo of radio. By coming back on the air, he risks a lot of criticism. A lot of people are saying, okay, so what was the big deal? So again, what's in this for Lujack? Says Jones, it's not about money. Lujack would care to differ. I've gotten a lot of calls from stations, and I always said, gee, thanks, but I've pretty much had it. When Jay Bull called and started talking, I had my mouth open ready to say, gee, thanks, but... And then he threw a number at me that was so obscenely high that I closed my mouth and started to listen. Initially, what Jones wanted to do was merely hire Lujack to record 10 promotional one-liners for the station. The two continued talking, and eventually the deal evolved into its current deal. I really wanted to get more involved than I wanted to, he said. When Lou Jack quit the business, he said it was about because he was bored. It wasn't about money. In 1984, when he was the WLS top morning man with the top-rated show in the city, he had signed a 12-year, $6 million contract with WLS 890. When he switched from mornings to the afternoon shift in 1986, much of his audience did not follow. When he quit the next year, his show was rated 19th, and ABC paid off his contract. Though none of the principals in this new deal would mention numbers, Jones said laughingly, "Ask me again in 5 minutes. We just keep adding zeros. There is much speculation in the industry." Asked one local radio executive, citing the reported $3 million salary of WKQX morning host Mancal Muller, "Would it shock me to learn that he's getting $200,000? That might be high, but it would not shock me." Despite Lou Jack's insistence in talking to him and others who know him, though, one gets the sense that this decision was not fueled solely by finances. Bob says, "I just think he was bored. What is he going to do? Open a fish and bait store? Radio is all he really knows." And as Lou Jack says, "God, once upon a time, radio was fun." His return was fun, flashing with his familiar and distinctive wit, world-weary charm and purposeful language delivery, but the first show was also peppered with awkward moments and some snafus. "Well, sure, I was nervous," said Lou Jack the day after the first show. "I was coming off a 13-year layoff, and I was always the guy in charge, pushing all the buttons. For this, I had no control over anything. It was very strange. Pretty rocky in some spots, but some of the problems were technical." Lou Jack is broadcasting from a recording studio near his home in Santa Fe, New Mexico, the same studio often used by actors Gene Hackman and Val Kilmer and musicians Herbie Mann and Randy Travis. As well, Lou Jack was playing the unfamiliar role of guest. In his heyday, he was firmly in the driver's seat with Tommy Edwards, his most memorable sidekick. Together, they created Good Radio and the immensely popular Animal Story segments. In November, WLS released and has been playing a compact disc, Uncle Lair and Little Tommy's Best of Animal Stories, remixed from three LP records released in the 1980s. Lou Jack and Edwards, who is now program director for a Los Angeles radio station, own the trademark on Animal Stories, but the station still owns the tapes. Both sides worked out a five-year deal to repackage the bits. Those bits hold up well, but will Lou Jack? 13 years is a long time to be out of the game. Jones says, but it's not like an athlete. You don't lose a step. After his retirement, Lou Jack remained in the Chicago area in a four-bedroom Palatine home he shared with his wife, Judith. He played a lot of golf, even in winter, and once played around when it was 27 below zero outside. He became quietly involved with the disabled activist group ADAPT. In 1997, he moved to Santa Fe. "I wanted to move to the Pacific Northwest, and my wife wanted to live in the San Diego area," said Lou Jack, who turned 60 on June 6th. "We couldn't make a decision, so we made a list of 10 places each of us would move, and Santa Fe, New Mexico was the only place that was on both lists. There he has spent much of his time landscaping his property, hauling rocks and cutting trees, and as he said on the radio, dodging snakes and waiting to die. What he doesn't do much is watch TV, just the news and The Simpsons, or listen to much radio. Usually only when I'm on in the car," he says, "was radio listening. I just punch around the dial. I don't listen enough to make any observations. No, wait. Without naming names, I'm disillusioned with the whole shock thing. It turns me off. It's a lazy way to entertain. There's a lot of cruelty to it." When Jones called with his offer, the timing was right. But is it the right time? Surratt says, "Most of us are not originals. Larry really was. But is it possible to be an original twice? If this is but an 8-week experiment, an answer to that question would be unnecessary. But there are hints it could be more." Lou Jack says, "I think there's a 50-50 chance I may do something with WBT or with somebody else. A full-time daily gig is out of the question," he says. "Never, no way." But he adds intriguingly, that is, barring any unforeseen circumstances, WUBT and James would like to discover such circumstances. Said Jones, who was 40. Would we love to have Larry on a more regular basis? Absolutely. I don't think there's a radio talent alive today who has a bigger emotional connection to his audience and to his peers than Lujek. He is incredibly funny and compelling, with this extraordinary ability to speak his mind. He's a genius. On Lujek's final broadcast on August 28, 1987 in Chicago, I was in his studio doing a report for a TV station. If memory serves, and if in radio, that's about all one has, this was one of Lujek's final on-air comments. Saying goodbye is kind of silly. Depending on how things play out in the next over weeks over WBT, maybe it was. And for the DX Audio Service, Ken Onischek reporting, and take it away, Fred.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Science!
The Federal Communications Commission has released a highly anticipated report and order creating two new classes of low-power FM radio stations, otherwise known as LPFM stations. One operating at a maximum power of 100 watts, otherwise known as an LP100, and one at a maximum power at 10 watts, otherwise known as an LP10. The agency says that both types will be licensed in such a way as to protect the existing FM radio service, although the protection will not be as great as that desired by the National Association of Broadcasters, otherwise known as the NAB. The Federal Communications Commission has decided not to adopt its proposal to license 1,000-watt radio stations because they have a greater potential for causing interference, and the agency believes that they are, quote, not necessary to meet the most pressing and widespread demand for service expressed in the record, unquote. The commission says that its goal is to create a class of radio stations designed to serve very localized communities or underrepresented groups within communities. For that reason, these stations will be operated on a non-commercial educational basis and will be licensed only to local entities without other attributable media ownership interests. When the floodgates opened, there were applicants from Alaska, California, Washington, D.C., Georgia, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Maine, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Oregon, Rhode Island, Tennessee, and Utah. As can be expected, California had the most applicants for LPFM stations. And Mississippi came up last with only one applicant at 103.9 in Gulfport. Oh, and by the way, Oregon only had two. The Federal Communications Commission decided not to impose third adjacent channel separation requirements on LPFM stations, despite evidence in studies submitted by the National Association of Broadcasters and the Consumer Electronics Manufacturing Association that most receivers, especially the less expensive ones like clock radios and portable radios, tuned to existing stations would experience interference from signals on the third adjacent channel at the current negative 40 dBU contour. The agency concluded, based on all the evidence in the record, including a study by its own Office of Engineering and Technology, that such protection is not necessary because significant new interference to third adjacent channel is not likely. The National Association of Broadcasters countered back with a CD sent to all members of Congress showing the interference which would be caused to radio stations presently licensed by these LPFM stations. The only problem was the CD was created and not actual listening tests. Many DXers know that some of these radio stations can't cause interference. After all, LPFM stations are kind of like translators. When was the last time you heard a translator three channels over from a large high-power station cause interference? So goes the fight. So who is eligible for a LPFM station? Eligibility for LPFM licenses will be limited to non-commercial
educational entities because the Federal Communications Commission believes that non-commercial licensees, which are not subject to commercial imperatives to maximize audience size, are more likely than commercial licensees to serve small local groups with particular shared needs and interests, such as multilingual and cultural minorities or groups with shared civic or educational interests that may now be underserved by advertiser-supported commercial radio and high-powered non-commercial radio stations. The agency was also convinced by commenters that public safety would be an appropriate use of LPFM stations. Therefore, public safety radio services used by state or local government for not-for-profit organizations will also be eligible for LPFM licenses. Public safety entities, however, will be subjected to the same cross-ownership restrictions applied to other entities. Since entities holding attributable ownership interests with other broadcast licenses or media entities will not be eligible for an LPFM license, public safety entities which hold AM Travelers Information Station licenses will have to return those licenses upon the initiation of LPFM service. The Federal Communications Commission believes the cross-ownership restrictions are necessary to further its goal of diversity and local community-based service. The restrictions are national in scope, meaning, for example, that a television licensee cannot have an interest even in an LPFM station that is outside the service area of its television station. Moreover, in order to be assured of the effectiveness of the ownership restrictions, those entities restricted from ownership are also prohibited from altering broadcast-related operating agreements with an LPFM station, including time brokerage agreements, local marketing or management agreements, and similar arrangements. The agency will, however, permit an existing licensee to apply for an LPFM station on the condition that it will divest its current interests prior to commencing LPFM operation. In addition, during the first 2 years that LPFM licenses are available, they will be limited to entities based within 10 miles of the station that they seek to operate. An applicant must be able to certify that he or its local chapter or branch is physically headquartered, has a campus, or has 75% of its board members residing within 10 miles of the reference coordinates of the proposed transmitter. Even after the first 2 years, a significant local ownership preference will be applied in resolving mutually exclusive applications. Also, during the first 2 years, no entity will be permitted to own more than one LPFM station. After that, multiple ownership of LPFM stations will be permitted on a national basis, but with up to a maximum of 10 LPFM stations over a phased-in period. Even then, no entity will be permitted to own or have any attributable interest in two or more LPFM stations located within 7 miles of each other. Rules similar to the existing broadcast service will be applied to determine a licensee's compliance with these ownership limits. The Federal Communications Commission will apply the same character qualification requirement to LPFM licensees as it's currently applying to full power licensees. The context of LPFM applicants, however, it is necessary to address specifically or the possibility that some of the applicants might have operated low-power stations illegally in the past. The agency has decided that in such a case, it will treat the applicant as qualified if that applicant can certify under penalty of perjury that 1. It voluntarily ceased operations of the unlicensed station no later than February 26 of 1999, voluntary meaning without being told to do so by the Federal Communications Commission, or two, it ceased operating the facility within 24 hours after being directed by the commission to do so. Applicants will be required to make this certification for all parties with an attributable interest in the application. So for now, it looks like LPFM is going to be on the air. That is, unless Michael Oxley has his way. Let's take a look at some details for the 2000 National Radio Club Convention, which is going to be held almost in my backyard here in Lima, Ohio. Actually, about 2.3 miles to the southwest of where I live. But the convention is going to be held here in West Central Ohio. Lima is between Dayton and Toledo. And if you're coming from the west, you'd be coming from Fort Wayne toward Lima. And if you continued on down, I think it's US 33, you'll be coming to Columbus. Or you can kind of angle up toward Mansfield, Ohio, so you get an idea of where we're at. The convention is going to be hosted by myself, my wife Debbie, son John, daughter Connie, and my surrogate son Phil Wayne up there in Findlay, Ohio. And the convention location will be the Hampton Inn, which is located at 1933 Roschman Avenue. That's spelled R-O-S-C-H-M-A-N, Roschman Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45804. That's at the intersection of I-75 and State Route 309. I-75 goes north and south from Michigan down to Florida, and US 309 goes east and west. The telephone number at the hotel is area code 419-225-8300. Their fax number is 419-225-8328. To book your room, call the Hampton Inn and tell them you're with the National Radio Club and that your code is NRC. That code again is NRC, as in National Radio Club, and it's very important to give them that code because there's just a few rooms left in the reservation list. And those of you who have been calling up and saying you'd like a room but haven't been giving the code have been told there are no rooms available. So be sure to give them that code number, and if you have a problem, be sure to give me a call here and we'll see if we can iron it out. Room rate is $69 per night, and there's a block of just a few rooms left until August the 19th. Rooms are blocked from August 31st to September 4th only. If you need to extend that for any reason, be sure to tell the hotel. Now, due to several events in Lima that weekend, I urge you to book your rooms early. You can book your room and hold it by credit card. And I don't think there's any limitations on the number of people you can have in your room. So what I'd suggest is if you would like to cut some of your costs, why not get on the Musings to the Members line and see if some other members might be coming your way and might be able to split the room cost and make that rate a little bit lower. Now, if you do miss out completely, there are some other hotels in Lima that may, and I stress may, be open. There is also some smaller hotels, cheaper I guess you'd say, some distance away from the National Radio Club convention. However, if you do book yourself at another hotel, you're on your own as far as trying to get transportation to and from the convention. So please try to book yourself at the Hampton Inn. Convention registration is $35 per person, and that is until August the 19th. After August the 19th, or if paid at the convention, it's $40. So you actually save $5 by sending in your convention registration ahead of time. What does that include? Well, convention registration includes all the beverages for the weekend, snacks, the National Radio Club Banquet, something we're trying this year that we've never done before, a special picnic dinner from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
on Friday night, which is sponsored by the editors of the DX Audio Service in the hospitality room. And we're going to be having hamburgers and french fries courtesy of Cupie Hamburgers, Lima's hometown hamburger. If you've ever had a hamburger like Wendy's serves, this is infinitely better, believe me. A continental breakfast is provided by the Hampton Hotel Registrants, or I should say a continental breakfast is provided for the Hampton Hotel Registrants in their spacious breakfast area every morning. They have over 28 items on their selection list. So if you stay at the Hampton Inn for the convention, there's not really too much of a reason to go anyplace to eat. You got a lot of it right there at the hotel. We'll have more details and photos of stuff on our webpage. If you'd like to check out the webpage for the latest information, the address is www.nrcdxas.org/convention. What kind of things are we going to be doing at the convention? Well, Friday at about noon, John Bowker and Linda Bowker will be hosting our registration table, and we'll be welcoming in people as they come to the convention. We'll have, starting at 5 o'clock, our editor's picnic dinner, if you'd like to stop in and enjoy a hamburger with us. At 6:30, we'll have our scavenger hunt details that will be released, and see if we can give away some prizes to very enterprising people. On Saturday, we'll have some tours of media properties around the Lima area, which will include radio stations, and I think I know somebody at a TV station that might be able to get us into that. But Saturday night, we have the National Radio Club's, Saturday afternoon, we have the National Radio Club Convention Group Picture at 5 o'clock. We'll have dinner at 6 o'clock. And then we'll have our business meeting at 7:30 in the hospitality room. At 8 o'clock, we'll have the world-famous National Radio Club auction. And be sure to send any auction items you have to me here at the DX Audio Service. We need as many as you can to help raise some money for the club and defray the dues costs. Sunday morning, we'll have the travelogue recorded for the October 2000 DX Audio Service. At 9 o'clock, about 11 o'clock, we'll have the National Radio Club quiz. At 12 o'clock, we'll announce the scavenger hunt winner. And 2 o'clock on Monday, the convention closes down. We're also looking for people to record welcome messages for WNRC. And if you'd like some specific travel details, be sure to contact me here at the DX Audio Service. Just use the telephone number that I mention on each issue. But if you need specific road information, just contact me here at the DX Audio Service. Well, that's just about it for now. I can't think of anything more to mention on the convention. But again, I'd like to stress, write to me an email at fredv@nrcdxas.org or write to me on snail mail, as they call it, at 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805. Or just give me a call at 419-228-4199. This tape is being posted on July 1st, 2000. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. 73 and good DX.